In this episode, we are going to talk about innovation and technology in the workplace safety arena. We're going to talk about some really cool things that have developed over the years, and we're going to pose a question to safety pros about an emerging technology that is only going to become more prevalent in our workplace. So we'll get into that in today's episode. All right, everybody, before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right, as promised, we are going to talk about technology. Now, I did cover somewhat this topic, and I was a guest on in the past. We talked about wearables, but I want to dive a little bit deeper into not just wearables and technology, but also into artificial intelligence and how that is actually being developed in the workplace safety space right now. So we'll get into some of that. First, let's talk about some of the innovation around wearables that have taken place, even in the last year. So one is a smartwatch and smartphones, right? So they're somewhat the same. You know, a smartphone can do all kinds of crazy stuff. It's got apps that, you know, it's got sound meter apps, light meter apps, you know, it's got a little flashlight. It's you can do voice calls and text, and you can do all that stuff. Then we have this category of technology called wearables where, you know, you put this on your body and it's not so much a phone, but it acts like a phone. It's a computer, essentially. So let's start with smartwatches. Now, I'm a fan of the smartwatch. I have an Apple Watch. I have no affiliation with Apple. I know a lot of friends have Samsung, you know, of that, you know, Android operating system. And these devices, they can do some really cool stuff. Let's start with the basic things that you can also do with a phone. But let's say you're working with your hands, maybe you're a service technician, even construction. We'll get into some really cool construction stuff as well. But now you can be able to accept calls, place a call, send a text just with your voice without having to get your phone out. You could do this just having the watch on your wrist. So that's kind of cool, especially if you really need your hands and maybe you have an emergency, you're trying to do something. I mean, imagine being able to do CPR and call 911 at the same time, right? You know, people don't think about that, but that's what I think about when I see these things. I'm like, oh, wow, first responders can use this, or a first aid team could use this, or has anyone ever thought to do that during an emergency? They're probably yelling for help, which is good, and they've got, you know, and they yell again, and they've got this thing on their wrist that they could just call 911 from there. But those are examples of, you know, just being able to do voice calling and dialing hands-free. So that's kind of cool tech if you think about it, right? Now, these watches have evolved. They have all kinds of sensors on them now. Sound meters, this thing can go off and tell me when it's too loud or when I've been in a loud environment for too long or have been exposed cumulatively throughout the day to noises exceeding some decibel setting right now. Some people say, well, it's not been ANSI approved or it's not, you know, calibrated or, you know, okay. So maybe it's a good early warning indicator that I need to do an assessment of this work area or this task or process because we've got multiple folks, you know, their watch is going off telling them, hey, you might want to take a look at this area. So it's a pretty good early warning system, I guess you could say. You can also monitor heart rate, breathing, blood oxygen level, right? It's a little pulse ox meter. And those are really cool things that could be useful in, you know, emergency response situations for first responders, but also employees, especially in construction, that work in inclement weather, very cold or very hot, things like that. So some of these devices can even tell if you're under stress. And if you've fallen, there's a fall detection mode that I can enable on my Apple Watch. I know other watches have this as well. Garmin is known for not so much wearables at work, but for running and outdoor exploring. It's the Garmin app, you know, with the maps and, you know, the route, but also they have a watch where they call this some sort of emergency detection. I imagine it's falls or sudden movements or you haven't moved, you know, and it's on your body and you haven't moved for some period of time. And those are all really cool monitoring devices or systems that I think have some pretty good safety and health impacts. So that's something that you can look at as well when you look at these remote workers that, you know, we've got some sort of passive monitoring going on where normally you would have to check in. And these things can be set up to automatically text or call if something is wrong. You know, smartwatches are a big deal that, you know, the health and activity data, detecting falls, and then of course, safer communications, offering hands-free. Those are all benefits to construction workers, service techs, factory workers, things like that. Another emerging area is with smart devices in shoes. Now, I bought a pair of running shoes. I've since replaced them, but I had a pair of running shoes that actually had a sensor in that detected my stride, told me, you know, gave me tips on, you know, my pacing and all of that good stuff. Now, I think some of the new sensors coming out also offer the pressure detection in the sole. So smart work boots, for example, and work shoes can detect falls, small shocks that are sustained by construction workers or other types of workers, and then call for help. It's like synced to a phone. Location sensing, you can detect where people are on a site, a work site, within a factory, for example. So this technology can be a little more sensitive than GPS, right? It can track location of workers pretty accurately. That improves lone worker safety. It helps to reduce the time spent in unsafe areas and atmospheres, all kinds of good stuff. There's built-in charging with some of these as well, that which was weird. I started looking into this. It's located in the heel, so the smart boots or shoes can charge simply by walking, right? So that's kind of cool. I kind of like that one. Smart boots by Soul Power. They are aiming to revolutionize that whole construction footwear in the coming years. Now let's move to like other common safety or PPE that you would have workers wear. So a hard hat, right? Smart hard hats. Yeah. Even hard hats are getting smart. They're, you know, we know they're a critical piece of safety equipment, right? So if you're going to have them on, why not build some sensors into the hard hat? So there's things like fatigue detection, measuring vital signs, right? They're able to detect worker fatigue and signal the need for a break. There's something called, and I was reading a couple of articles on this, called micro sleep prevention, right? This is where there's technology that in the hard hat that will evaluate brain waves, and a sensor band that sits on the inside of the hard hat can detect microsleeps before they occur and alert the worker. Microsleeps, apparently, this is where it's a sudden moment of sleep that can occur in fatigued individuals, like kind of quick nod off type of thing. And it's especially, you know, in a dangerous situation, even like drivers, for example, heavy equipment operators. Those are all great examples. But yeah, microsleep prevention, I would have never, you know, suspected that. And then there's, of course, much like the boot, proximity sensing. And the watch can probably do this as well, but with hard hats, you know, sensors in heavy equipment and the hard hats, construction wearables can help alert contractors or workers and equipment operators that there could be a potential collision. So if you've got workers walking around a corner of a building and then you have an equipment operator heading that way as well, maybe the hard hat vibrates or beeps or something and it gets your attention to slow down and kind of look around the corner. But look, all this stuff is coming, and it's included in products like SmartCap and WakeCap. So they've got these types of features being added to construction helmets. And so when you look at industrial sites, you could probably leverage these as well. AR, augmented reality, or AR glasses. Now, we're getting into some weird stuff with AR glasses. You know, walking around and you're like, oh, are they filming me? Are they recording me when we're having this conversation? So that's always a concern. But obviously, leading edges, detecting whole open holes and falls. Obviously, using machine learning, smart glasses could be able to detect hazardous materials, provide some sort of imminent visual alert to construction workers and factory workers. But then also with smart glasses, it's possible to provide visual cues like a heads-up display for important safety protocols directly on the environment that the worker is in. So let's say on scaffolding, the employee could be given direct information about where to, you know, hook on, you know, the harness. Also, maybe looking at a machine for a service tech, it detects the machine, it knows which type it is and model, and it could kind of direct the service tech around to where the panel is, to where the lockout, tagout, you know, and energy isolating devices are located, you know, that kind of stuff. Augmented reality or smart glasses, they really intrigue me, and I still think there's a weirdness factor in society around smart glasses, and so we'll get into that when we talk about AI. But then there's, of course, just body wear, right? Just, you know, vests, smart monitors that you clip on that can track core body temperature, detect harmful gases. And we have a lot of these already. But with Internet of Things or IoT and making smart sensors and connected devices, we can actually have these things do something other than just passive monitoring. And then we have to look down at it. And get away from andons, which means it just beeps and I have to do something, but actually can set off an alarm or can kick on a ventilation fan, for example, that's in a room. You got a group of workers in a part of a warehouse or a part of a construction site or a building, and you've got some temporary ventilation set up and maybe it's connected and it's not running all the time, but maybe it kicks on when one or two or more of these sensors detects, you know, the heat or something like that, and it kicks on some fans or something like that. It's just off the top of my head some examples of what I'm thinking about connected devices. You also have things like reduced muscle fatigue. There's special technology known as exoskeletons, right, that can improve strength and reduce muscle fatigue. This is also getting into the weird category, right? People having to put this on and it helps them move heavy objects around, but there are wearables being developed in this exoskeleton space that probably we'll see more commonplace in the near future, whereas, you know, a couple, 3, 4, 5 years ago, it was somewhat far-fetched. Now, let's talk, you know, I've mentioned this a couple of times about this, some of the weirdness factor. Let's talk a little bit about how strange some of this stuff can get. Now, I mentioned AI, right? Automation or artificial intelligence. We know that it's accelerating at a pretty rapid pace, and it does aim to improve workplace safety as well as increase productivity. But how will our working society, working population, react and respond to artificial intelligence? Now, automation has long had this sort of stigma around replacing jobs. It's replacing people, computers, and robots, you know, automation. But I'm talking about in this case is more around automation in like machine learning, how software and using cameras and sensors continuously learns about that environment and adapts and gives us cues to improve that area. Like, for example, heat. Like a great example of this would be when the Nest, that thermostat came out, where it would learn, you know, when you were home and adjust automatically. When people freaked out, like there's a hidden camera in there and they're listening to you and watching when you're home, and somebody can hack into that and tell if you're home or you're not home. And so there's still this weirdness, privacy, this kind of creep factor about. And I think it's driven by, you know, sci-fi novels and science fiction movies. And I mean, there's some valid, you know, concerns there, obviously. So I really struggle with AI and some of these ideas where I'm being a nerd. I'm like, man, that is really cool. And then I immediately go to, but you'll never see it in the workplace. Not now. There are going to be too many protests about some of this stuff. But that's machine learning, right? Learning your behaviors and patterns and then adjusting like the HVAC system or, you know, a simple light sensor that detects when you go into the bathroom and turns the light on and it kicks it off when you leave to save energy. And, you know, those are all examples of old technology. But look, let me give you an example of one that's a little more complex. Since the pandemic, more and more companies have been looking to advanced technologies of AI and machine learning, things like computer vision, deep learning, to help us better understand the current health crisis known as COVID-19, the global pandemic, to help keep our workplaces safer and healthier, right? So you've seen more and more of these you know, social distancing systems being put in where they either use existing cameras that you have in your facility already, and then it learns like people grouping together for a certain period of time will send an alert to go out to that area. That is a great example of artificial intelligence and machine learning and, you know, being able to help monitor areas where you don't have to have a human watch, but it's software that does it. And it's all data, right? It's not like somebody's, you know, grabbing and sitting in front of a TV and watching people work. Now, albeit a lot of these systems do capture an image so that you can like refer to that, so that you can then tell the system, the software, by clicking on some options that this was not, you know, in fact, a violation of social distancing and this was. And so it kind of learns and adjusts as you go. But that's an example of, you know, one that's more recent that has seen some popularity because of the global pandemic. Whereas before, if you were to say, hey, we're going to install this system in the break rooms to make sure there aren't too many people in here at one time, people would freak out. All of a sudden, you're like, yeah, we've got this system that helps us determine where there's too much crowding so that we can facilitate social distancing. And people are like, okay, that's kind of cool. But businesses can repurpose these applications and algorithms or just create new ones, right? Businesses can do this to help customers and employees adjust to changing safety regulations, right? That would include remote real-time equipment monitoring for things like predictive maintenance, safety area enforcement, safe zones, like people can't go into this area, monitoring how long you're in, so like a freezer area of a warehouse or a heat treat area of a manufacturing plant, all that kind of stuff, right? We're going to see more of this come out. The question is, how weird is it going to get? There are systems being developed that will help to improve industrial operations, right? So there's I think it's called AWS Panorama. It's a machine learning appliance and software development kit that uses an on-premises smart camera. It runs these computer vision models on multiple concurrent video streams to automate monitoring and visual inspection tasks. And these are tasks that you would traditionally do, you know, with a human, such as object detection, activity recognition, and it's designed to improve quality control and manufacturing, but they're seeing more and more applications, you know, use to safety, workplace safety, like social distancing, for example. You know, it actually can be used to detect certain activities. So when a worker who's doing something all of a sudden starts swinging her arm like they're banging on something, an alert could go off to be like, hey, this activity shouldn't require you banging on something. So people freak out about this kind of stuff, you know, this eye in the sky, Big Brother type of scenario. So artificial intelligence still has this stigma, and it's important to have this conversation because, you know, technology and innovation will continue to move forward. It's coming. We have, you know, automated, you know, even driving for goodness sake, we have self-driving cars and that have been proven up to this point statistically, proven to far exceed a human's ability to operate safely, operate a vehicle on the road. Doesn't replace the human, of course, but you know, it's been proven. But sometimes the data doesn't matter if you can't get over the social stigma and sort of the cultural pushback that's associated with this. So that's the struggle. So I wanted to get into this topic with you today because two things. One, I'm a total nerd. I'm a complete dork, so I love this stuff. But I'm also just a perpetual student of human, you know, behavior. I'm always interested in like how people respond and react to things and how people use things to their advantage or misuse things. And from that, you know, you can get some innovation. But I want to know what your thoughts are about two things: physical devices, you know, wearables, smart hard hats and boots and you know, smart fabrics and sensors. You know, what are you seeing that's really useful and kind of cool out there? And then what are your thoughts on artificial intelligence and machine learning and how a smart building can continuously learn about its occupants because of, you know, through monitoring how they work and what they do and where they move around the building and to adjust everything from temperature to lighting to you know, future building layouts and things like that. And then, of course, productivity and safety, using that technology to monitor people. What are your thoughts on that as well? I want you to head over to the Safety Pro Podcast community and join us in the discussion. It's a great community. It's a growing community. It's free to join, and you can read and enjoy all the posts about each podcast episode. And I share some other posts and thoughts on there as well, much like social media. But there is a whole, you know, other side to the community on the, it's a premium membership. It's $6.99 a month. You can cancel at any time, and it gets you full access to all the premium content. So I'm always doing videos on safety consulting and safety professional development videos. And we have an entire series ongoing right now as I'm recording this episode on active shooter training and response to help you better train your workers, prepare for, God forbid, some horrific event like that. But this is the kind of value. This is stuff you're not going to find just by Googling or getting this stuff on LinkedIn or Facebook. So we wanted to create a space for us to collaborate. And there you have it right there, the Safety Pro Podcast community. The link is in the show notes. Please join in on the conversation over there. And I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.